Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Paul Blumenthal, a reporter for the Huffington Post who covers money and politics. We'll examine investigations now underway into some of the biggest billionaire super PAC donors in this election cycle who have allegedly violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Then we'll look into why the latest round of talks in Moscow between the G5 plus one and Iran appear to have failed. Investigative journalist Robert Dreyfus, the author of Devil's Game, How the United States Helped Unleash Fundamentalist Islam, joins us to discuss the deep well of bitterness between the U.S. and Iran, which may explain why the Iranian delegation used up much of the negotiation laying out a long list of grievances with the West. Then finally, we'll get an analysis of why Pakistan's Supreme Court dismissed Prime Minister Gilani from office, throwing an already unpopular government further into crisis. Junaid Ahmad, a professor of law at Lahore University in Pakistan, joins us to discuss this latest episode of a political soap opera that is distracting Pakistanis from serious and growing domestic and foreign policy concerns. Joining us now is Paul Blumenthal, a reporter who covers money and politics for the Huffington Post and previously was the senior writer at the Sunshine Foundation, a nonpartisan organization which uses cutting-edge technology and ideas to make government transparent and accountable. He focuses attention on the intersection between the influence of campaign funding and political decisions made in Washington and has an article at the Huffington Post, Super PAC Donors Face Federal Investigations. Welcome to Background Briefing, Paul Blumenthal.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And tell me about some of the biggest super PAC donors who now are apparently being investigated for violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Well, there are a number of donors who are under investigation for these kind of potential violations. Probably the most prominent one that people know about is the investigation into Walmart after the New York Times reported on potential payments that company officials made and then covered up in Mexico. And two of the children of the founder of Walmart, Jim and Alice Walton, have each given $200,000 to a super PAC called Restore Our Future that supports Mitt Romney's presidential bid. There's also Sheldon Adelson, who's a casino magnate who has properties from Las Vegas all the way to Macau in China. And he's under three separate investigations into his operations in China, allegations that state that officials at his company had made payments to not only Chinese officials, but also members of the Chinese mafia known as the Triads. There's also the Koch brothers, whose company, Koch Industries, is under investigation, and they have stated that they plan on spending upwards of $100 million to defeat President Obama in this election. There's also Meg Whitman, who ran for governor of California and is now the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, and Hewlett-Packard is also under investigation under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So you have a lot of these wealthy people who have a lot of interest before the government, and they're spending more than they've ever been able to spend before in these elections.
But this is not the connection between the super PACs and their foreign corrupt practices. There's no real connection there. It's a coincidence that they're giving money to super PACs at the same time they're being investigated. Or does this raise questions about international money laundering?
Well, the fear that people have is that, you know, this money could potentially buy influence in a future administration, and that influence could come in a variety of ways, whether it's, you know, some kind of direct action to stop an investigation, which would be probably the most outrageous kind of influence you could have, to sort of an appointing of people to the Department of Justice, to the Securities Exchange Commission, to be able to have these people who aren't really of the mind to go about investigating certain companies or any companies at all for these kind of violations, or simply just a shifting away of the priority that's been established in the past two administrations to go after companies for Foreign Corrupt Practices Act violations and try to clean up corporate business overseas. And this could happen if, you know, there's tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars coming from these donors. The politicians know who is helping them get elected, even if sometimes the public doesn't know, and that can often translate into influence.
Well, there's no question that this administration's, that the previous administration, George W. Bush administration, did not prosecute anybody under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Well, the actual uptick in investigations began towards the end of the Bush administration in 2007. And I guess the irony of that is that that began under the Attorney General Michael Mukasey, who now works for the Chamber of Commerce, and he is their lead lobbyist trying to loosen the law so that corporations face fewer enforcement actions from the Department of Justice. So some of these actions did actually begin under Bush, but sort of late in the administration. Most of the uptick comes from the fact that a lot of other countries have adopted similar laws, and the U.S. adopted this law in the 1970s. Only recently did Britain adopt a similar, actually tougher law, and then you have countries like China, India, Russia that have also adopted similar laws, so it makes it easier to have these, like, cross-border enforcement actions actually take place and sharing of information between the governments.
Again, I'm speaking with Paul Blumenthal, a reporter who covers money and politics for The Huffington Post and previously was a senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation, a nonpartisan organization which uses cutting-edge technology and ideas to make government transparent and accountable. He focuses his attention on the intersection between the influence of campaign funding and political decisions made in Washington and has an article at The Huffington Post, Super PAC Donors Face Federal Investigations. Now, Sheldon Adelson, I think he's the seventh richest man in America, worth some $26 billion. Of course, having spent $10 million, I think $20 million on Gingrich and put up $10 million for Romney, and he said that's only the beginning. He could put up $100 million. One of the things about that that I find extraordinary is that it seems to be fairly obvious that, you know, there's a connection here to Netanyahu, because Adelson's he's devoted his fortune and his life, if you will, to Netanyahu. He has bought a TV network in Israel devoted to promoting Netanyahu. He publishes a free newspaper that's given away free that promotes Netanyahu. And turns out that Netanyahu and Romney are very, very old and close friends, going back to when they were both starting out, graduating from MIT and Harvard Business Schools, respectively. They have quite a deep bond, and it seems to me not exactly conspiratorial to assume that Adelson actually kept Gingrich in the race in order to split the anti-Romney vote. And I guess if my theory is correct, that raises the question of foreign influence already in an American election.
Well, I mean, we've also seen Senator John McCain, who said that, you know, you have Sheldon Adelson is making most of his money now from China, so you have this sort of, you know, his profits come from another country. They come from the interests of other countries. That's why paying attention to these foreign corrupt practices investigations is important for somebody whose most of his business nowadays is being done overseas. And clearly his biggest interest is supporting a particular political party in a foreign country, that being the Likud government of Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel. And I think that certainly raises questions about what kind of interests this, you know, $100 million or more is going to buy in Congress or in the White House.
Well, there's a whistleblower involved in the Macau story, isn't there, Paul Blumenthal? Somebody that was involved in setting up these deals in Macau, a former Portuguese colony that China has now taken over and was always a kind of offshore Las Vegas like Cuba was before Castro. Pretty seedy place. And he alleges that Adelson paid off the criminal gang, the Triads, in order to get these casino concessions that, in many ways, aren't they the source of why his wealth has doubled? I mean, it's ironic to me that this guy has, you know, doubled his multi-billion fortune in the very period when Obama's been president and he's dedicated to getting rid of Obama.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the case with lots of conservative billionaires at the moment who, you know, they got a big tax cut under George Bush. They got estate tax cuts for their children, and now it appears that they're spending that money on the political process to get more tax cuts.
But what about the Macau case? Adelson says this guy's just a disgruntled employee, but how serious are his, I mean, his allegations are serious, but what's your sense of where that investigation is going to go?
I mean, there are three investigations, one in DOJ and a few in the SEC that are going on. Those are the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act investigations. And then there are multiple lawsuits in courts in Las Vegas where journalists have been following this a lot closer than I have, about I believe the guy's name is Steve Jacobs, who's making the accusations against Las Vegas Sands, which is Sheldon Adelson's company, that he helped facilitate these payments to government officials in Macau and to the triads also. It's the casino business, which has never had a great track record of being clean when it comes to money. So you have to give some validity to these kind of allegations in an industry that's known for corruption and bribery for most of its existence.
And Paul Blumenthal, just turning to the Charles and David Koch, because they're already fairly prominent. They're somewhat the poster boys for all that progressives see wrong about the American political system in the extent to which they are so aggressive in promoting their political candidates and their political issues, most of which end up serving the interests of Koch Industries in a fairly fundamental way. They've also funded this this group, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. How vulnerable do you think they are in terms of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act?
Well, I mean, all of these investigations, the thing to understand is most of them wind up with the companies paying maybe a hefty sum, but nobody ever winds up going to jail, which, tends to be the case for most of these investigations. Koch Industries, they might not terribly care about paying some kind of fine. I mean, they've paid so many fines in the past for environmental law breaking and various other offenses that I'm sure a lot of progressives could name better than I could. The case for a lot of these companies and the problem, particularly for companies like Walmart or Hewlett-Packard or even a casino business that's trying to do business overseas like Sheldon Adelson's, is that, they're consumer-facing, front-facing companies that also do business with the government. And, you don't want this sort of black eye, this black mark of you've been paying foreign governments to be able to get business. It also just doesn't look good overseas in that you're contributing to corruption that is actually hurting millions of people by keeping them, under the thumb of corrupt governments that are forcing companies to make these payments.
But Paul Blumenthal, since you've been covering money and politics for some time, these super PACs, like the ones that are under investigation, that the Walmart people gave money to Restore Our Future, which is Mitt Romney's super PAC and others, the other favorite cutout or repository for money appears to be these 501c4 super PACs. I guess they are super PACs, but they're originally set up under an IRS provision meant for charity. And their advantage to the donors is that you don't have to disclose who you are. And that is one of the reasons why a lot of money is going in them. And I think Adelson is going to put a lot of money into them because he's fairly secretive, even though everybody's been talking about how much money he's been giving so far. What is to stop foreign governments, just to reverse it a little bit from the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, where U.S. business people can be charged for bribing foreign officials? What about foreign officials bribing our politicians via these 501c4 shelters?
The thing with the 501c4, they're called social welfare nonprofits, is what they're officially referred to as, and they're governed by the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, which governs all taxes and tax policy. And they have to disclose their donors to the IRS, but not to the public. So, I mean, the IRS would review and see if they are getting money from a foreign government, from a foreign official, and using that money on elections. I mean, there is some kind of oversight for that. However, the big issue for them is that they, in many cases, are simply acting as political committees. They're running these ads that they claim are about issues, but really target specific candidates in swing races or in swing states when they're targeting President Obama or Mitt Romney. And, what they The problem is that the public has no clue as to how this money is being spent, when in fact things like Citizens United and many other court decisions have stated that transparency is absolutely necessary if we're going to have any kind of political spending, let alone unlimited political spending. So, you know, the public winds up at a loss here, even though there is some amount of oversight that, you know, the IRS would provide.
Well, as you probably recall, Paul Blumenthal, the president at the State of the Union a couple of years back, just after Citizens United, when he was castigating the ruling, he mentioned that this could open up the possibility of foreign money pouring into our elections, and that prompted Justice Alito to say not true, or mouth not true. And that was quite a kind of flap in itself. But right after Citizens United was announced by the Supreme Court, the Democrats tried to pass the Disclose Act to enforce the very transparency that we're talking about. So just in closing, how open is this system to the very thing that the president said in the State of the Union is quite possible that foreign money could influence our elections, which prompted Alito's response?
I think that there's, you know, probably a very, very small chance that foreign money will make its way into our elections. It seems mostly unlikely considering the kind of laws that are in place, the fact that the IRS has oversight over a lot of these kind of contributions, and the fact that subsequent court decisions have pretty much said that, you know, foreign citizens aren't allowed to contribute and upheld that ban. I think, you know, maybe a bigger concern is how we actually look at what is foreign money when you have multinational corporations that really operate within no borders of a government, and they're the ones who can spend freely no matter where they are actually based or where they're paying taxes. And maybe that's a bigger scandal than actually a foreign government or a foreign corporation spending money in our elections, the fact that we have these corporations that have no home that are allowed to freely spend to influence our elections.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Paul Blumenthal.
Well, thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Paul Blumenthal. He's a reporter who covers money and politics for the Huffington Post and previously was a senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation, a nonpartisan organization which uses cutting-edge technology and ideas to make government transparent and accountable. He focuses his attention on the intersection between the influence of campaign funding and political decisions made in Washington, and has an article at the Huffington Post, Super PAC Donors Face Federal Investigations. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the P5+1 talks with Iran in Moscow that seemed to have gone nowhere.
But the music that excels is the sound of oil wells as they slurp, slurp, slurp into the barrels. My little home will be quaint as an old parasol, and instead of carpets I'll have money wall to wall. I want an old-fashioned house with an old-fashioned fence and an old-fashioned millionaire.